This is Liz Barker on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Cyril, my guest, is going to explain. Now, Cyril is only one of two people in Shepworth who is still alive who remembers World War II. He was a young lad of 10 when war broke out, and one of his first memories of realising that there was a war happening was when the evacuees arrived at the train station in Shepworth, and he said they were just jammed. There was just loads and loads of children on the platform, which, having been on the platform myself on Saturday, is really hard to imagine, actually. But this is Cyril talking about what he remembers.
Well, I can remember we knew the train was going to come at 11 o'clock or whatever, you know. So us children, boys mostly, used to go up there, and there would be three or four or five or six ladies from the village. And when all these children got on, they would have a gas mask when they got off the train and a small case. And these ladies would allocate them to different houses in the village, depending on how many bedrooms they got. And of course some, because Barrington and Falmia didn't have a station, so some were allocated to Falmia, because my grandmother lived there, so she had some. And I always thought, you know, children, maybe 7, 6, 8, you know, that age, coming from London, not knowing where they were going, they get off the train in Shepworth and they get allocated to a lady they've never seen, you don't know whether she's going to be nice or not, but anyway. That went on, and then when they started the school here and the school at Foxton, where we had to go when we was 11, neither of them were big enough for all us. So we locals, we used to go to school from 9 until 1, and then the evacuees went from 1 until 4. But we only had, like, most of the teachers that were younger had gone away to the war, or getting ready for the war. I can remember going to Foxton School when I was 11. There were two teachers there. But we used to fill, you know, used to be standing room only almost. But there used to be children come from Barrington and Shepworth and the Foxton children, of course. So we went in the morning, 9 till 1 or 12 or something, and the evacuees used the school in the afternoon. And that's how it went on, you know. And of course, some of them settled in, well, I don't know, I mean, I was only a schoolboy, but it seemed like that some soon settled in and some had difficulty. Either they, people that they were allocated, didn't like the children, or vice versa, I don't know really about that. But that was my first, you really knew something was going to happen then, when all these kids turned up.
Did you make friends with any?
Oh, yes, of course you did.
So there must have been a lot of children around the village, obviously.
There was.
Yeah.
More than the school could hold, or Foxton School could hold.
So Shepworth, I mean, it's a small village. It must have been a small village then. Yeah. And there weren't, obviously, you all know each other.
Yes.
And you suddenly have, obviously, different kids in the village, children to play with or get to know, or did you just hang about? I mean, what did you do after school? Did you just go
get in the mischief most of
That was it though, wasn't it? You could just, was it a lot more, because the war was happening, parents were busy, I think they were fretting, they were working, they were away. So kids left to their own devices quite a lot, do you think?
Well, we used to have games different to what they do now. I don't know what we'd done really. Bear in mind that there were lots of troops here then. Because Shepworth had lots of trees, more trees than there is here now, so lots of soldiers were sent to Shepworth because it was supplied cover, you know, from getting bombed or whatever. So all the way down Falmia Road, there was troops there. And all the way up here, wherever there was a field, and, you know, there'd be... I can well remember when the war started, like the Royal West Kents were here. Well, you know, that used to cause great fun with us kids because when they was going to leave off work, these soldiers at, say, 4 or 5 or whatever, they used to leave some big metal cans out with water in, and then we used to make a bonfire in the plantation and warm the water up for them so they could have a warm wash and shave when they finished work, because there was no hot water in this place. There's only like tents and things. And then they used to give us a cigarette then, which was good. And if you had lots of hot, and then we made, with some wood that was broken tree, we made a shower where we used to climb on top and tip this stuff on the soldiers, get about six of them, stand underneath, and then you get maybe two cigarettes. But I mean, that used to take half the night, really. That was my first thoughts of the war.
Did Shepworth get bombed at all? I mean, was there...
No. The nearest bomb to Shepworth was one up Meldrith Road, and one, you won't remember it, but if you go across the footpath to Foxton, I mean, if you go in, like, down Amble Lane...
Yeah. Well, and then Wimpish that way?
No, go across towards Foxton.
Oh, yeah,
the
footpath
there. There used to be a cottage over there, about halfway along, and there was a bomb got dropped there, but the cottage was not occupied then. Wow. It was sort of derelict a bit.
Because we're so near Duxford as well, there must have been a lot of aeroplane. There must have been a lot of air activity.
Loads and loads and loads.
Was that quite exciting, though, as a young boy, seeing the aeroplanes fly over?
Yes. But what I'm talking about so far is when I was very young, when I was at school, you know, but then as I left school, I went to this school until I was 11 and then went to Foxton and then left there at 14 and started work. So,
doing what, though, in the war? What was there to do? What did you start work as?
Oh, I started work as... You know the garret, you know Melbourne?
Yes.
The Cross in Melbourne?
Yes.
South Cams Motor Company. I started work there the day I was 14. And I worked there until the day I went in the army and I was 18.
So, I mean, you obviously found it exciting, not scary.
All timing, yes.
But it wasn't just like playing at war, it was proper war, people shooting at you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But you didn't see anyone get hurt or injured? Anyone in your family that was off fighting?
Well, only a much older family. Mm-hmm. You know, all my uncles and granddads and things like that. I don't know. I never seemed to have bothered about that. There was too much fun going on, you know.
I love the stories, because you tend to think about war and you tend to think, obviously, of the horribleness, but actually hearing a kid's point of view and how fun it could be,
that's right.
You know, well, is a really nice...
That's what you made, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you couldn't go to the pictures.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. You just had to make your own...
Yeah. Entertainment, as it were.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was good.
So that was Cyril, who is 90 and lives in Shepworth. And we had a really long chat yesterday. I mean, we were chatting for at least an hour, and he had some incredible stories, especially about the aircraft flying over. He said that when he was a young lad, he could identify each plane just by the noise that it was making as it approached. And he said that they would fly so low that obviously they would see underneath the aircraft really clearly the crosses from the Germans. But even the pilots, sometimes they could see. And they said sometimes when they were cycling, because they'd have to cycle everywhere on their little bikes, the pilots would just sort of have a bit of fun with them and sort of shoot, not at them, but sort of on the verge, on the grass verge as they were cycling along. And he said they'd have to dodge the bullets. And I mean, those kind of stories are quite incredible, actually. And he did say that the troops that were obviously in Shepworth, they had to clear out at D-Day. They all cleared out and they burnt everything, but they had to leave the food. And because, of course, food was rationed. And then he was told that behind a tree there was a package left for him, and it was a big sack of rice. And he said he shared it out in the village and everyone had rice pudding that day, which was pretty amazing. So thanks very much to Cyril for taking the time to talk to me yesterday. And it was obviously a very poignant day for him, remembering some of his friends and the people that were killed in the village that obviously they knew. And but it was quite nice to hear a child's point of view. And he said the tanks would come into the village and the tanks would be around where the war memorial is now, and the kids would play on them, basically. They'd hide under them, play on them. But it did sound quite incredible, actually, that obviously war was going on, but children were just having fun like children do.